A lot went on this weekend, not only at USF, but of course around the entire American Athletic Conference, so much so that on this Monday, which we normally do anyway, have Around the American as its own separate program later in the afternoon, it's going to even be longer than 15 minutes. I decided to make that thing more like 20, 25 minutes. We haven't taped it yet as we're doing Bulls Beat first, but we'll do an extended version because, yeah, a lot happening, not just with football. As always, some great results, some crazy results, volleyball, soccer as well. So there's a lot to recap on that show as well as we do here. Before we get to what happened in soccer and volleyball, let's hear from Jeff Scott, his initial thoughts after a 35-27 loss, but one that had a lot of encouraging points to it in Provo, Utah to BYU.
Incredible atmosphere. I've been in just about every ACC, SEC stadium in the country, and this is one of the best I've ever been in. Absolutely incredible. Atmosphere. Really the tale of this game was the first half. Really proud of the way our guys played in the second half. I believe we had three possessions offensively in the second half, scored on all three of them. I think one of them was a 94-yard drive, 75-yard drive. I don't believe we had one false start offensively. And so really give the offensive players, offensive coaching staff, a lot of credit there. A lot of the other teams that played in here had a lot of those issues. We had to go to a different snap count. We started early in the week, which was different than we've done in the past. And Brad Cecil did a great job up front. And again, Timmy McClain, he's going to learn a lot from this. He's going to be a better player for this type of environment he was in today. And we're going to be a better team.
Really was something. I saw Joey Johnston tweet late after the game. Of course, he was there on the sideline. He would know. First of all, backing up the volume level. He's been in a lot of stadiums, and he confirmed. And then going so far as to say, with how Timmy McClain performed in that environment, it was really special. Sam Barrington himself, who again was there, said that this is no disparagement of any previous Bulls quarterback, but Timmy McClain has the goods to be the best that's ever done it for the green and gold. So, with Will Turner asking the question, I got to give my buddy credit. He makes these road trips, so he was actually, even though he's on a Zoom call here, in Provo. And here's Coach Scott's answer to the question that's probably on your mind.
It might be too early, to tell. I know you got to go back and evaluate. Does Timmy kind of cement himself as a starter tonight with his performance?
Honestly, yeah. I would say as of this, watching him go in, and again, he wasn't perfect, but, I think he's gotten better each and every week. And again, I mean, this environment was unbelievable. And to be able to go out and execute and get the calls, get the snap, the cadence, all those type of things. And we've got, a couple other really talented quarterbacks as well. We were ready to put Cade in if we got in a situation. But Timmy really just managed. I felt like Timmy's feet were really the difference for us in some situations where maybe we didn't have what we wanted downfield with the coverage. And he made some plays. And I feel comfortable with him being our starter moving forward. And we'll still take it week by week as we go. Obviously, there's no season-long contracts or anything like that. You got to continue to play well. But right now, he moves the ball best for our offense.
On that topic, the Bulls' running game was big in these long drives. Listen to Coach Scott speak about what was the difference in getting those prolonged drives, but also kind of putting a little bit back on the situation with the defense right now, just being very thin.
I guess we're a really good defense over here with this group. But I think ultimately the ability to run the ball, when they knew we were going to run the ball, and we were able to get the yards we needed to keep the drives going. And that's what we're going to have to be able to do this year, especially with the lack of depth on defense. We're not going to be able to play as fast as we would like to play offensively. We're going to need to continue to eat up some clock and get points in the end zone. And, it about worked for us right there. We're just really a couple minutes away, one stop away from having a chance to go down and tie the game up.
And just in case you're thinking, well, you didn't have to onside kick it, short and sweet answer with Joey Johnston from the post game, and yep, this sums it up.
I went into the decision to make the onside kick. Yeah, we had no timeouts, and we really hadn't stopped them all night, so I didn't feel like we really had it. I felt like our best chance was to go with an onside kick and have it bounce our way.
Again, much more of Coach Scott with his radio show today starting at 6 and with his press conference tomorrow. Wanted to play one real quick clip from the other side. You could tell Kalani Sitake was a little impressed with Timmy McClain, even though he was not happy with his defense.
Give a lot of credit to South Florida. I thought they did some really good things. Like the quarterback, I mean, I can't believe he's a young freshman, but man, he can escape, he can run. Felt like we couldn't keep him contained, and he was really athletic. He escaped a bunch of possible sacks. And so we have to give them a lot of credit.
By the way, BYU 4-0, they have the schedule. If they run the table, they should be in the playoff. They've already beaten three Pac-12 teams. They play at Washington State. They finish at USC. They also play host to Virginia. They go to Baylor, which is a top 25 team, and they play Boise. Utah State's 3-1. That's who they face this week, so they are not racking up against cupcakes. We'll wish them the best down the line. Only a few minutes left in the show, so not going to have full highlights, just sort of bounce around here. If you want the full highlights of volleyball from this weekend, here's the best way to do it. Listen to Bulls Unlimited 2. We are replaying both matches. We do trim them a little bit, but leave in a lot. And even though they were both losses, they were genuine thrillers. And the Bulls really looked like they were going to have a victory on Friday afternoon with an impressive third set.
Reception by Marta. And let me tell you, I'm liking what I'm seeing from Amiri Hendricks-Walker. And the connection with O'Loughlin is fantastic right now. Great serve. They go out at the middle to Oliver. Hendricks-Walker wins that battle. Point still alive. Right side sends it, goes to Williams. Hendricks-Walker again sends it down. Third chance, they'll go to Williams on the right side, and it hits the pin. What defense by the Bulls. Going to go to Berkey this time. It was Reagan Kynard with the block. It is a block party right now for USF. And a bad pass, and that's going to do it. The Bulls win the second set in impressive, impressive fashion.
25-15, but as we pointed out in the broadcast twice, actually in March, in the advanced to the spring schedule of 2020, since he was down 2-1 at the corral and won and really wasn't challenged in the fourth or the fifth set. Fourth set, Bulls actually fought off five set points but lost it 25-22. They were down 9-3 in the fifth, rallied back to tie. It was thrilling.
Madden back to Williams, and it's blocked by the Bulls, and it lands in! That was Marta and Tizzy, and we are tied at 13.
However, the Bearcats would get the next 2 points. Great defense on the next one. It just was that close to being a victory for the Bulls. Unfortunately, it wasn't. Amanda DeWitt, the freshman with 14 kills to lead the way. A rare match where Marta Svitkovic did not get the most attempts. They held her in check, but DeWitt with the 14, Jack St. Sin with the 13. And yeah, the freshman Amiri Hendricks-Walker of the Bulls, 10 blocks. Then yesterday against an ECU team that was 4-6 but had major injuries at the beginning of the season, they had a couple matches where all of their setters were out. And in all of their matches, 4 wins, 6 losses, all were straight sets. So when the Bulls blew a 6-point first set lead and lost it 28-26, that wasn't the best sign, and the service errors really started to creep in. 5 in the first set, all after the Bulls were up by 4 points, and so it allowed ECU to sort of hang around. Then, Bulls mounted a big rally in the second set from down 13-8, able to go up 17-14, but the Pirates came right back, had a big run on their libero, who was outstanding, Tia Shum's serve, an 8-0 run to make it 23-18, and the Bulls lose that set. Not a lot of runs in the third set. It stayed close throughout, and it went the distance, and the Bulls grabbed a third set win. East Carolina had 2 match points. Bulls win them both, and then
Shum has to come up to make the pass. Right side, and it's blocked over. Stays on the Bulls' side, O'Loughlin. Left side to Kynard for the set, and it's a set win for the Bulls!
The excitement level was even greater in the fourth set. It really felt like the Bulls were going to pull it off, but it's just too agonizing to relive right here. Again, if you want to, the full matches are being replayed on Bulls Unlimited 2. We trim out a couple of the minutes of action just for time purposes, but you hear the whole ending where, starting at 24-21, the Pirates had 9 match points. Bulls came up clutch, but finally on the 10th match point, 32-30, ECU takes the set and the victory. As I said, the Bulls came up clutch when they were facing the end of the match, but unfortunately, 5 times after it was 23-21, and 4 of them when the match was tied, basically, just after they'd fought off a match point, a service error. That category was the reason the Bulls lost, 16-5. In fact, the Bulls had 15 more kills than the Pirates, but 22 more errors, 11 on the attack, 11 on the serve. Marta Svitkovic was great. There were some clutch moments. Again, you can catch the replay on Bulls Unlimited 2. She had 20 kills. Amiri Hendricks-Walker, the freshman, 13 kills, 5 blocks, another freshman. Tizzy Puyiz, 11 kills and 6 blocks. It really was exciting. Just happened to be a defeat, and the Bulls are 0-2. In conference play, they go on the road for 2. later on this week. And we'll devote much more time to soccer tomorrow, but short version, it was an exciting win, although, again, they left it until the very end. At least the Bulls have pulled off three straight wins with late goals. In this case, Madeline Penman-Durston, a rebound of her own shot, great setup on a long ball by Vivian Bissett, and a header by Megan Cavanaugh, who's back in action after being hurt. Bulls get the 1-0 win at Tulsa. The reason we don't have the replay is the Tulsa-based ESPN Plus announcers announced it as a win for UCF. That's why you listen to Unlimited. They're home Thursday against Houston. Men lose at SMU 2-0. Well, they're home Wednesday against UCF. So like I said, we'll have much more on that later on in the week. In fact, not much later on in the week because it's just a couple of days away. And tomorrow's show will feature a golf recap. 36 holes today for the men, 18 on Tuesday. At the Wyndham Memorial Classic in Illinois, 14-team field includes top 25 North Florida Georgia Tech Bulls right outside the top 25, while the women are in Vail, Colorado. And when you're there, yeah, no 36 hole days. Enjoy three full rounds starting today. 20 teams in this tournament, most from out west, although others like Delaware, Xavier, Rutgers taking advantage of the chance to play in Vail, Colorado. Again, full recap on tomorrow's show. That's going to do it for the Monday version of Bulls Beat. Thanks for listening. I'm Derek Sharp.